John chapter 1. For a while, I want us to meditate on some Old and New Testament scriptures having to do with the birth of Christ. John chapter 1. And some preachers would say, I know I'm on the right track because a brother prayed this portion of his prayer. So it's evident. John chapter 1. Look at verse 14. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld his glory, glory as of the only begotten from the Father, full of grace and truth. Now, that isn't so impressive at first. The Word was made flesh. What does that mean? Look at verse 1 of chapter 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Verse 14. And the Word was made flesh. Now that is profound, that the Word, who was with God and was God, was made flesh. Let's speak to God again in prayer. Our Father, let us speak such things as the Lord shall appear suddenly in his temple. But our Father, though the appearance was sudden, the scriptures were filled with the anticipation of that appearance. We are thankful that we hold in our hand the scriptures, the Old, the New Testament, telling us about the coming of thy Son, the Lord Jesus. And it is our desire this night to think on him, to meditate on him. That is why our great joy is that, our Father, to think on his name in the midst of the people of God for the thoughts concerning him that cause our hearts to rejoice. And that is what we desire to do this night. So teach us, our Father. You have heard the prayers concerning the sick, the needy in the world, and you know our needs as individuals. So bless us from the Word of God. Man shall not live by bread alone. Now, Father, we are to be fed from the Word of God. So teach us and guide us, we pray. We confess our sins, be faithful and just to forgive and cleanse, and glorify the name of thy Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen. Does any brother have any idea as to why we celebrate December the 25th as the birth of Christ? Then, have you any scriptural idea as to why we celebrate December the 25th as the birth of Christ? All right. Then, as the fellow said, you don't know anything about it? Well, I'm on safe ground. I'll tell you all about it. What happened was this. If you read up on it historically, you'll see that the church fathers, those are in a position to dictate to the churches, that about in the middle of the 5th century, in the 400s, about the middle of it, the churches decided, now, one church disagreed, but most of them decided that December the 25th was the day that Christ was born. Some say no, it was January the 6th. And so you find those two different dates still contending with one another. And I was reading what some of the ancient fathers said and how they came to this conclusion. And it came from what I read to you last Lord's Day. It spoke about the 6th month. And so they started thinking about the 6th month. And with their tinkering, and I'm just going to abbreviate this and tell you, from their reasoning as to what the time was when Zechariah was ministering and when his wife, Elizabeth, became the child, and then the Lord Jesus, you see, was 3 months later, he was conceived, and so they started putting all of this together, and they came up with December the 25th. No basis whatsoever as to why that should be it. And people, wise men, have been contending over the years that it was not that date. And some will give you various dates of the year. But I believe that I can tell you precisely the year and the date where Christ and when Christ was born. And I would not tell you that loosely. And to my knowledge, no one has ever brought it to my attention. Somehow it was suggested to me as I was reading, but this is how you do it. In the verse that we read, it says, "And the Word was made flesh and tabernacled among us." Tabernacled among us. Now, turn to Exodus chapter 40. Exodus 40. And you bear with me. This is not authoritative, but I believe that I have much to sustain what I'm telling you. Exodus chapter 40. Keep your place there and turn back to Exodus chapter 19. Look at 19, first of all, verse 1. "In the third month, after the children of Israel were gone forth out of the land of Egypt, the same day came they into the wilderness," and then Moses goes and gets the Ten Commandments. The third month. All right. Chapter 40, verse 17. "And it came to pass in the first month, in the second year, on the first day of the month, that the tabernacle was reared up." You say, the first day of the first month, the tabernacle was reared up. You say, that's speculation. No. For this reason. I wish I could tell you exactly when Jewish months began. They are not like ours, but March or April, it's right around in there, and so we will take it as April. So, in verse 17, it says, "It came to pass in the first month, April, in the second year of the first day of the month, that the tabernacle was reared up." It says in John 1:14, "And the Word was made flesh and tabernacled among us." The materials were gathered, and then for months they were put together by a cunning workman, Bezalel. He was the cunning workman that was in charge of it all. And then, on the first day of April, in this month, 9 months after Moses communed with God, and when he received the commandment about the pattern of the tabernacle, 9 months later, the tabernacle was completed and reared up. You say, well, that could be a coincidence. I would agree with you except for this. I can tell you exactly the day when Christ died, and I can tell you exactly the day when Christ was raised from the dead. Turn to Leviticus 23. Leviticus 23. And that is why, when you have these men that approach it seriously, but they use every conceivable means outside the Bible to find out, in Leviticus 23, verse 4, "These are the set feasts of the Lord, even the holy convocation, which you shall proclaim in their appointed season. In the first month, on the 14th day of the month at even, is the Lord's Passover." It says in 1 Corinthians 5, "Christ our Passover hath been sacrificed for us." And you will find that when the lambs were being slain, that Passover, between the two evenings, you'll find that the Lord Jesus was slain on the cross of Calvary. You say, well, now that's certain because, yes, it was the Passover. All right. Look now, I told you at verse 10. Speak unto the children of Israel and say unto them, when you are come into the land which I give unto you and shall reap the harvest thereof, then ye shall bring the sheaf of the first fruits of your harvest unto the priest, and he shall weigh the sheaf before the Lord. You'll find that this occurred 3 days after the 14th. You say, how could it be? Because the Jews arranged the planting so that when the Passover on the 14th and immediately the Feast of Unleavened Bread, then the first fruits came on that third day. So here, God has given us specifically the day that Christ died and specifically the day that Christ was raised from the dead. And I have no doubt that he is giving us that same suggestion as to when Christ, whom he formed, this is what it says in Hebrews. It says, a body hast thou prepared me. And I'll give you two other hints to show you. What the Lord does quite often is not tell you everything, but tell you a few things and expect you to go on from there. I can tell you infallibly the interpretation of some of the parables in Matthew 13. For this reason, the Lord Jesus interprets them for me. But I sit back and laugh at people who read the interpretation of Christ, disregard it, and will try to interpret it apart from what Christ has told them. That's a strange thing. If the Savior has told me anything about the interpretation, that is the interpretation. And so in like manner, when God gives me an interpretation of the Old Testament in the New Testament, that is the interpretation. And I will tell you two clues that he gives us. One is in Hebrews 9 and the other in Hebrews 10. I'll give you the second one first. It says, we have had boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus through the new and living way, through the veil, that is to say, his flesh. So God has told us, this tabernacle that you, Moses, are to erect according to the pattern that I've shown thee in the mount, it's a pattern of the things in the heaven. He tells us that the veil, the material, the fine, fine linen, was the flesh of Christ. You say, all right, what's the other one? It says in Hebrews 9, describing that tabernacle and the articles of furniture that were there, it speaks about the mercy seat. And if you are able to read the Greek, you will find that the mercy seat is the identical word that you have in Romans chapter 3, where it says, God hath set Christ, setting forth the propitiation, and that word is the mercy seat. In John 1:14, the word became flesh and tabernacled among us. Christ is the tabernacle. Well, what is the fine, fine linen? It's his flesh. And what is the mercy seat? It says, God hath set forth Christ, the propitiatory, the propitiation for our sins. He gives us those specifically. I'm not going to give you any more, but I've given you those. And so here is the tabernacle, and God has specified the exact day when it was completed and when it was reared up. And the remarkable thing is that when the tabernacle is reared up the first time, that is the birth of Christ. And then when that tabernacle was taken down the first time, that is the death of Christ. And afterwards, when it's raised, it is the resurrection of Christ. Only once was it raised for the first time. But after that, it was taken down and erected again and again and again, each time signifying that Christ died and rose from the dead. So many other things, but I want you to see that. All right. If what I told you is true, and I know that the Passover is true when he died, and Christ, it says in 1 Corinthians 15:20, but now is Christ risen, the first fruits of them that slept. You say, yes, he's called the first fruits. It says in 1 Corinthians 5, Christ our Passover have been sacrificed for? You say, yes. It says the Passover, and the Passover on the 14th day, that's when Christ was crucified, and it says the first fruits on the 16th day, the third day Christ rose according to the scriptures. You say, yes. Now, the others, you know. If I ask some brother, where was Christ born? You have to guess? Where was he born? You look intelligent back there. Where? Who said so? Where? Micah 5:2. You understand? And all the rabbis, you. When King Herod said, where is Christ to be born? The wise men had come and he wanted to know. It said, elementary. Micah 5:2. And then they quoted it. Out of thee shall come forth a prince who shall govern my children, who shall shepherd my people, Israel. You say, well, the Bible tells us where he was born, tells us the day he was born. Perhaps, I cannot assure you of that. He tells us the day he died. You can't deny that. When he was raised from the dead, you can't deny that. Well, can you tell me the year? Yes, I can. Because in Daniel chapter 9, it says this, know therefore and discern that from the going forth of the commandment to restore and build Jerusalem unto Messiah, the prince, shall be, and you'll find 69 sevens. And someday I may take time and show you out, but when you put them together and calculate them, you'll find that Christ was born at a specific time, and this is what fills all of those who hate such things with consternation. They like to say that Daniel was not written by Daniel, it was written later on. Well, let's say it was written only 170 years before Christ was born. How could he, 170 years before, instead of, say, 600 years before, know when the Messiah, the prince, was going to come? You say, oh, it was just a guess. It was a coincidence. No. All of these things are there. And so God tells us the year, and if we calculate it correctly, we have it. He tells us the time of the year, around April the 1st. He tells us the day he died, the day of the Passover on the 14th, and he was raised from the dead on the 16th. So all of these things are told us in the Word of God. And the only reason that we consider this as the answer to so many problems is that God has set forth his Son in typical ways, in people, in trees, in animals, and in the tabernacle. He has set forth his Son, and he expects us to see him. Now, another thing that's so encouraging is this, that when the world tells us the Old Testament, why, it has been changed, it's been put together, well, I will accept that. Let's say that men put it together. How could they put it together and Christ come out of it? How are all these typical scenes of Christ, without even forcing them, how do they turn out to be the Lord Jesus Christ? You say, another coincidence. And so I just laugh at them, because it says that when certain things happen, the ones that feared the Lord, the ones that hearkened unto his word, they knew that it was the word of the Lord. And so if you say, about when was Christ born? About April the 1st. And so that makes April fools out of all the people that are trying to say some other time. You see, in the spring of the year, when life comes forth, the Lord Jesus Christ was born, and also in the spring of the year, when life comes forth, the Lord Jesus was raised from the dead. I want you to see that. Just think on those things as we come and consider the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ. God is not going to leave us in any doubt as to his Son's coming. Know therefore and discern that from the going forth of the commandment to restore and build Jerusalem unto Messiah the Prince. He says Messiah the Prince is coming. I told you in Genesis 3:15 that the seed of the woman would bruise the head of the serpent, and more detail he gives us through Abraham, through David, until finally he says, now I'm telling you the year in which he's coming. And then he says, I'm going to tell you where he was going to be born. He said, I'm going to tell you the day he was going to be born. I'm going to tell you the day that he's to die and the day that he's to be raised from the dead. And so God goes on and on. And this is a very strong encouragement for us who look to the Lord, who say, we are not wise. We do not exercise ourselves in great matters. Praise God. Know the scriptures. Be wise unto that which is good, simple unto that which is evil. And you can be wiser than any man that does not use the word of God, and as wise as any man who does use the word of God. If we are both using the word of God correctly, not one can be any wiser than the other unless he does more praying and considering. Because God says this in 2 Timothy. He says, consider what I say. The Lord shall give thee understanding in all things. Now, these. Let me show you in Isaiah 7. Turn there for a moment. Because these are the ones we know. Perhaps we weren't as familiar with the ones that I just brought to your attention. But in Isaiah chapter 7, let's look at verse 14. It says, therefore, the Lord himself will give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son and shall call his name Emmanuel. All right. That's one of the names that he's to be called. He was never called that by his family, but that's one of his names. Another one is this. I want you to see it. Turn to Jeremiah chapter 23. Jeremiah 23. Because in both of these, his name is as to his nature before he became flesh. Jeremiah 23. Look at verse 5. Behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that I will raise unto David a righteous branch, and he shall reign as king and deal wisely, and shall execute justice and righteousness in the land. In his days Judah shall be saved, and Israel shall dwell safely. And this is his name, whereby he shall be called Jehovah Tsidkenu. Think of that now. These two scriptures go together, because thou shalt call his name Emmanuel. And Matthew says, which being interpreted is God with us. That's what 1 Timothy 3:16 says. God was manifest in the flesh. And Isaiah 7:14 says, Emmanuel, God with us. And Jeremiah 23:6, this is his name, Jehovah Tsidkenu. And when the Lord Jesus said in John chapter 8, before Abraham was, I am, that is the eternal name. That is the eternal, self-existent one. And the Lord Jesus said, before Abraham was, I am. And God has told us that. But just one thing, of all these names, God tells us so much about it. There is one question that God asked, and no one ever, not in the Old Testament, had the answer. Turn to Proverbs. Turn to Proverbs. Chapter 30. Proverbs chapter 30. Verse 2, surely I am more brutish than any man, and have not the understanding of a man, and I have not learned wisdom, neither have I the knowledge of the Holy One. Who hath ascended up into heaven and descended? Who hath gathered the wind in his fists? Who hath bound the waters in his garments? Who hath established all the ends of the earth? What is his name? And what is his son's name? If thou knowest, and I will give a Christmas present for anyone who can show me Jesus' name that the angel told us it was going to be in any prophecy in the Old Testament. Well, if you find it, I'll give you all the time you want. You will discover that God kept back that name, and he gave it to the angel to tell Mary, to tell Joseph. This is the name that he shall be called. Jesus. I shall call his name Jesus. But he shall save his people from their sins. And so God tells us that he's going to be deity, Jehovah. He is as it says in Isaiah 9:6, unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. The government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. All of these things have told us. But God said, but as for his name, that he's going to be known in his family, I'm going to let an angel announce that. So these are some meditations about the birth of Christ from the Old and from the New Testament at Christmas time. Time is gone. Let us pray. Our Father, we are thankful for the great encouragement that we are given, we who have fled to Jesus for refuge, but also we who trust in thy word. We are thankful that one of old said, I have trusted in thy word. Thou dost speak about, I have esteemed all thy precepts concerning all things to be right, and I hate every false way. We are thankful, Father, that we are not many wise, not many mighty, not many noble, but our Father, thou hast made us wise through the word of God, as by thy Spirit we are guided into it, and we trust it. So ever let it be our light, our Father, to know all things about Christ who was to come, who did come, and who is to come. Bless us, we pray, in the name of Jesus Christ, the Lord. Amen.